Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining me here today. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. You know, we are heading into Holy Week, and yet I can't believe how fast Lent has gone through. And, you know, we're already starting spring, March 20th, 21st. And so, you know, just we are graced with a beautiful weather. I don't know, with 74 out there, I'm broadcasting out here in Westchester. I hope you're enjoying the sunshine and the springtime weather. Again, as we're going into Holy Week, coming in next week. And so, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about here, and I'm trying to figure out, well, what's the best way for us to figure this out? You know, thinking out loud, you know, how Lent is, you know, supposed to be 40 days. But if you really count it out, it's like 46. And so, you know, there's other days such as Sundays, which aren't considered as part of Lent because those are solemnities, the highest type of calendar days. And so I wanted also to take a moment to explain, you know, like at least one other solemnity that just happened also on March 19th, where it was, you know, St. Joseph's feast day, and also how, you know, there's different things about St. Joseph that I just wanted to quickly bring up, even though that day has passed, because, you know, that's a solemnity that, you know, people should, you know, can look at also at the Annunciation of the Blessed Mother, which was just yesterday, March 25th. And so I wanted to reflect on the Holy Family in the sense of St. Joseph, the Blessed Mother, and then, of course, Jesus coming up here is for Passion Sunday. So the topics that I'm going to talk about today, to try to keep you on the show here to listen in, is, first of all, about St. Joseph. Some people think St. Joseph had two fathers and is actually listed in Scripture. How's that? And it's being, you know, interpreted in different ways. And so I just wanted to help bring light to that. The second thing I wanted to talk about was the solemnity of Our Lady, where it's called the Annunciation of Our Lord. But as we know, that was the day that Our Lord was conceived in the womb, right? March 25th. And so you think about 9 months later, we have Christmas, right? So when Christ, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, was born. And so the question that I wanted to raise as far as March 25th, any of you moms out there, how do you remember the day that you found out that you were expecting? Was it good news to you, or was it scary news to you? Was it both? Like, how did you deal with that? You know, I come from a background where I was actually in charge of labor and delivery back in the day for the anesthesia part. So I was like the mother's and labor's best friend by taking them out of this pain by giving them epidurals so they, you know, have the greater experience of pain-free deliveries. So I wanted to talk about that. And then, of course, I wanted to talk about Palm Sunday. The readings this coming weekend are pretty long. I'm not going to read them, but I did want to highlight some of the parts of Scripture there, such as when he says Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Like, did Jesus really feel separated from God? Did he really feel abandoned by God, that he was all alone? Was he, like, in such despair? And I wanted to just help break open that, because some of us, have gone through such pain and agony. It could be physical, of course. It's nothing like what our Lord Jesus Christ had with his, passion, his crucifixion and death. We might have our own sufferings physically, emotionally, psychologically, public humiliation in one way or another. But how did we deal with that? So, and as my role here on this program on Signed, Sealed, Delivered, you might have heard the new intro there, the little Motown beat that I had added to that to underscore the Signed, Sealed, and Delivered motto that I have here, is that, I'm your spiritual fitness doctor. So I'm hoping if any of you are interested in calling, to please call. I would love to hear from you, to hear your impressions of the show, or if you had a question, or you wanted some advice, or to pray about something, that please feel free to call here at WTMR 800 AM. I'm going to give the number out, every about 10, 15 minutes or so, hopefully to prompt somebody or some others to call in. It would just be great to hear from you. Our number here is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. Now, I just want to thank you again for tuning in here, because I am so grateful that you decided to listen here, even for a little bit. I know we have various other choices. You can tune in to another AM radio station. You can tune into an FM radio station. You can just watch TV or stream something on your phone and, go on social media. But for some reason, God has prompted you to stay on this show and to listen. And hopefully, I'm going to give you some insightful commentary to help you in whatever type of kind of dilemma or questions you have in your heart and your mind and your soul, that I can help bring some better understanding and clarity, and maybe get a chance to pray with you. All right, so let's get started here. So Saint Joseph, we know his feast day, right? Was March 19th, and there's something interesting, because if you look at the scripture where they talk about the hereditary of Saint Luke. In St. Luke and St. Matthew, they list two different fathers. And so how is that? And why is that? And it seems really strange. So let me give you an example. So in St. Luke, it actually says that Joseph was the son of Heli, H-E-L-I. Okay, but we go to St. Matthew, it actually says that Saint Joseph is the son of Jacob. And so how can this be? Why is there a contradiction in Scripture? Of course not, right? Anytime that we come across Scripture where someone says one thing and in another part of Scripture says something else, it appears to us, that, oh, wait a second, I don't understand that. It looks like the writers of Scripture have contradicted themselves. But if we go back and think about it, remember, Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? The third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is part of why I also named the show Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And each part of the show is actually highlighting each person of the Trinity. So when I say signed by the cross of Christ, well, that's giving honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say sealed by the Holy Spirit, I'm honoring the Holy Spirit, right? That we are baptized and then confirmed with the Holy Spirit. And then when we talk about the delivered through the Our Father prayer, I'm honoring God the Father. So in the same sense here, we want to make sure that on this show that we also highlight St. Joseph. Why? Because St. Joseph was the foster father of Jesus. He wasn't around by this time when Jesus started his ministry at 30 years old. We don't hear of him anymore. Tradition says that he died sometime before that. And some private revelations say it was because it would be too much for dear St. Joseph to really endure and see the Lord suffer and die and go through all of this. That, again, that's private revelation, and we're not obligated to believe that, but we are obligated to believe, you know, public revelation, which is Scripture. So the Holy Spirit, again, is the author that inspired all these various evangelists, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we have St. Luke with the epistles and the other epistles, you know, or the books there, you know, James and Peter and Jude, you know, those different writings. And so so Scripture cannot contradict itself. There's something about our understanding that needs to be improved, because, again, the Holy Spirit, who is God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, there's no way that God will contradict himself, right? And so as when we talk about Jesus and the Passion Week and then how he goes through the trial, the Pharisees and Sadducees and chief priests, they're going to make it seem like Jesus has contradicted himself, but they themselves don't understand it. So, you know, again, if there's any contradiction that seems to be a contradiction, it's really us. And so we have to find out, where did we go wrong? Not where the scripture writers went wrong, because remember, the scripture writers here in St. Luke, who happens to be a physician, I mean, he wasn't one of the apostles, right? And then St. Matthew, he was the tax collector, that they did not contradict themselves. So with that said, how in the world do we rectify the difference of Joseph's apparent two fathers? Again, St. Luke says that Joseph was the son of Heli. I don't know if it's pronounced Heli or Heli. You know, it looks like Eli, E-L-I, with the H in front of it. And then St. Matthew said that Joseph is the son of Jacob. All right, so the apparent contradiction is actually resolved when we realize that Heli was originally the one who was married to his bride named Esther, okay? But Heli had died childless. And so according to the law of Moses, when the husband dies and is childless, leaves his bride without a child, then the brother is then required to bring forth a child with his sister-in-law. So Jacob is actually the brother of Heli. So that's what happened. Heli died, and wasn't able to father any children. And by Jewish law, or, you know, the law of Moses, that Jacob, the brother of Heli, espoused his sister-in-law, Esther. And it is by Jacob that Joseph was born, okay? And so Jacob is the biological father of Joseph. And whereas Heli is the father according to the law of Moses. So that's how to resolve it. The law of Moses would say that Heli is the father, even though he had died and died childless. But biologically, by nature, Jacob is the father of Joseph. And so there we have it. As far as, you know, why there is a difference in the writing there of Matthew and Luke. And, you know, they took various approaches to explain the genealogy of Jesus. And so the way Matthew does it is, if you look at the genealogy, it's actually a pretty long list of names, and it's quite something else to pronounce all the various names. But the way it ends up there in chapter 1, verse 16, it says, 15 and 16, it says, the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. And so that's, it basically shows that Joseph is coming from the line of David, which actually means that David was the apparent heir to the kingdom. So if anybody was going to be crowned the son of David to be king, it would be Joseph. And how do we also know this? Well, if you remember going to Christmas, that the Holy Family, there was a census. And because of the census, they determined that everybody has to go back to their place of origin. And Joseph, he was from the town of David, which means he had to go to Bethlehem. And as far as I understand, and I can be wrong on this if my memory proves me wrong, but if that Joseph had either land or some sort of property there, which linked him to David, of course, by blood, of course, because here this first chapter of Matthew shows the direct lineage of Joseph, so that he is in that line, in the bloodline of David. And it actually shows that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, that it talks about 14 generations from Abraham to David, and then David to the deportation of Babylon, and then from Babylon to Christ, there was another 14 generations. And so it shows the direct line from Abraham to David, David to Christ, through St. Joseph. So the census actually showed and verified that David belonged to the house of David, Joseph belonged to the house of David, and that he had to go back to Bethlehem to register and for the census. And so he was really the hidden king. And so because Jesus was now the son of Joseph, and Joseph was the foster father, that Jesus rightfully is heir to the throne of David. So that just shows David's side of things. And then to finish up on this, you know, Saint Luke, he talks about how talks about Heli, right? And so this is where I'm turning here in my Bible. You know, that it really talks about how this is from Mary's side of things. Her lineage, and so this is why it's important, you know, for us to know both sides of the story, that either you come from Joseph's side or Mary's side, you know, that Jesus is in the Davidic line. And so that's the story of St. Joseph. There is on the side of this, I didn't think about talking about this, but you might want to, if there's any kids in the audience, you might want to be forewarned now about something that I'm going to talk about here, which I didn't plan on, but it's called the sin of Onan, all right? So without getting into details, the same thing happened to Onan, where he was supposed to sire a child for his brother who died, and he didn't want to do that because he wasn't going to be credited with that and be the heir that would go to him of different things. So he decided not to complete the marital embrace, so to speak, in the proper way. I'm trying to keep this as clean as possible. So he was struck dead. God struck him dead for his act of not being open to life, as we Catholics would say, to have a marital union but not be open to life. In other words, to have a type of contraception, if you understand what I'm talking about, without getting real explicit here. And so that was the opposite here of where Onan did not do the Mosaic law, his duty to bring forth a child with his sister-in-law. Whereas here, when Heli died, his brother, Jacob, followed the law and married his sister-in-law, Esther, and they had a child, and that was St. Joseph. All right, so this is the first part of my talk today as far as the program. If anybody has any questions or wanted to call in, the number here is 856-962-8178. 856-962-8178. Now, for the second part of the topic here, is the solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord, right? And so we have the Lord Jesus, how he is conceived in the womb of the Blessed Mother, right? And so we know 9 months later that Jesus is born. So we, those of us, you know, as Catholics, you know, and other fellow Christians, know that life begins at conception, right? And so the question that I have for people out there is, how did you as a mom and or the father, how did you all feel, or what did you all think is a better term? Okay, what did you all think? What went on? What did you ponder, like the Blessed Mother, in your heart and your mind, that you both were expecting a new life? Because if you think about it, that God gave us this power, us human beings, powers, God-given powers, to create life. So we are co-creators in the sense we are cooperating with the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord, the giver of life. And so if you think about it again, that angels don't have this power of creating other baby angels. Like, you might have seen those cute, chubby, you know, smiley cherubims, right? That they're not little baby angels that were, you know, given birth by some other mama angel and daddy angel, right? And with that said, believe it or not, all angels are masculine. There are no feminine angels, all right? Because if you think about it, all angels were made, before they were, you know, they had a battle with St. Michael and Lucifer, all angels were created good, and all angels were created in the image and likeness of God. And how does God like to be addressed as? Well, it's a he, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So if he's made in the image and likeness of God, then the angelology, if you look at the writings of some great theologians like St. Thomas Aquinas, who they call the angelic doctor, because he wrote so much about angels, so thus he's called the angelic doctor. If you look at St. Bonaventure, he's known as the seraphic doctor, because you know, that's like the highest of all ranks of angels, the seraphim. Or some other writers like Pseudo-Dionysius or St. Gregory, they talk about angels, and then you'll get a better picture that, you know, angels, they're only masculine, right, as far as they're being created in that good form. So going to what I'm saying here now, as far as how the Jesus was born, 9 months later, but he was conceived on this day, on March 25th, right, in the Annunciation. That's where we believe at the very conception, we are given this God-given power to co-create. And so angels don't even have that power to create. So in a certain sense, the angels are in awe of us, or in the bad sense for the bad angels, they are envious and jealous of us. So if you think about it, that it's no wonder that the bad angels would tempt us humans not to have a baby, because they can't have it. They weren't given that power of God to create life, only us mere humans. And so they have it in their plan that let's stop them. And so they'll try to find any other way, such as with Onan, so he wouldn't complete the act. Whereas here we have Jacob completing the marital act to foster a child for his older brother who died. And thus we have Saint Joseph, who became the foster father of Jesus. And Jesus is rightfully the heir to the throne of David. And so this is part of the great responsibility that we humans have about the gift of life, that we can create life through the Holy Spirit's power and help. And so how did you all think? What was going in your mind when you had, you know, the news, the first news of having your, whether it's your first child or your second, you know, or more, you know, how was that? Or you thought you might have been finished. I remember my parents, you know, I was the youngest of six, and they joked around that, that I wasn't planned, and that, you know, they couldn't believe it. And, you know, that even in their old age, or in their 40, 41, you know, that how in the world that, you know, this happened. So, you know, because my dad earlier, he was an engineer working for what was essentially Texaco, okay, but he was working in the Philippines, so they had this company called Caltex, because it's California, Texaco. And so in the Philippines, he was climbing one of those oil tankers, and somehow he got struck by lightning. He was up there. There was static electricity as he was climbing up those tanks filled with petroleum. You've all seen this living here in Philadelphia. It was, I don't know if I'm describing it right, calling it an oil tank. I'm not talking about a big old boat. I'm talking about those big cylindrical vats. I don't know how to call them, those tanks, right? And you can see them as you drive around 95, and you'll see a whole bunch of them, like a farm over there where they store the petroleum. Well, my dad was climbing up there, and the static electricity was building up, and when he reached the top, somehow there was an opening that he got struck by lightning, then fell through the opening and into the petroleum or whatever was in there. I don't know if it's crude oil, petroleum, what state of gas. So anyway, he was saved somehow, and saw the doctors, and they told him that he was forevermore sterilized, and that he'd never have any children. So he thought that he would never have any more. And so lo and behold, you know, he had three more. And so I was the last of that. So he was surprised at, 40. So anyway, so just, you know, think about that, what the Blessed Mother, you know, has gone through you know, having a baby there, you know, at supposedly age 14, being told this, and when she had promised, she and St. Joseph promised to be chaste all their life, to live as brother and sister in the Lord. Anyway, if you had any thoughts or comments, then please call in. We're going to take a break now, but here's the number. So if you do want to call in, you can call us right after the break. Here it is, 856-962-8178. 856-962-8178. So let's take a break now, and then we'll be right back on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered with Dr. Anton.
This is Pat Lally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. So just to sum up, I wanted to thank everybody who's staying with us, or if you're just joining the program here at the bottom of the hour, we had just talked about the great Saint Joseph and how he was really the hidden king, the heir to the Davidic throne, to David's throne, and the foster father of Jesus. So we show the direct line from Abraham to David to Joseph to Jesus to show that he truly was in the bloodline of Saint David. And so Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And also, I tried to clarify the confusion that where it links Joseph to say that his father was Heli and had another father, Jacob, But what I revealed that Jacob was his biological father, and Heli was his father by according to the Jewish law, because Heli had originally died. And then Jacob followed the law to marry his sister-in-law, Esther, and then they had a child named Joseph. And then I talked about the Blessed Mother, you know, how she conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we commemorate that on March 25th, and meaning 9 months later, Jesus is born at Christmas Day. So I asked the question about, if you all can just think about the time when you got the news of having your firstborn child, or maybe your second or third, or what, or you're the youngest. How is that? You just think about how the gift of God giving you that power, which is only God-given. Angels don't have that power, but we were given that power. And so not to squander that power and to block that power artificially with contraceptives of various kinds, but to be open to the power of the Holy Spirit and give you that gift of life, right, that the children can give to us, you know. And so anybody wants to call in, to please call in at 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. So I'm going to continue with the third planned part of this broadcast, talking about the Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday. You know, one thing that comes to mind here, you know, where it's Palm Sunday, excuse me, and where we talk about the Passion and how quickly, you know, here Palm Sunday, Jesus comes in, you know, on a donkey and a colt. The prophecy was he was going to come on one or the other, but he brought both. He, like, overachieved. So I don't know if he caught that, but he does, and he brings both. And he actually tells his apostles to go into town, and there's a guy that they're going to see. I mean, he's already prophesying what's going to happen in the future, and he's telling them that, you know, that you can, if that person asks, tell him the Lord has need of, you know, the upper room to celebrate the Passover. But then, you know, the other part was that he needed the colt and the donkey, and that the Lord had need of this. And so it came to be just like how the Lord prophesied. So the thing that I wanted to bring out is when he comes in on Palm Sunday, you know, literally they're throwing down palms and their coats and welcoming, you know, Jesus and proclaiming hallelujah, right? But then 5 days later, some of these people, the same people that were praising him, were the ones that were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, and, you know, and wanted him dead. So it just makes me think, is there anything in your life where you had so-called friends, you know, or somebody that you loved? It could have been your spouse. It could have been your children. It could have been your teammate. It could have been your coworker that, you know, they might have said some great things about you, and then 5 days later, they're saying nasty things about you. How could that be? How can that be just a few days before you can get compliments or you can get praise? And then later on, they think you did something wrong, and honestly, you didn't. Have any of you encountered that? If you did, then you can relate to how Jesus went through. Of course, his false accusations were on a different level than ours. But I'm just trying to help you relate. When we go through these Bible readings, what I'm trying to do is to try to unpack things and to help you see, well, how does it relate to my life or our lives or your life? And to make it real for you, so when you go through these very, very similar crises, in the sense that somebody can turn on you, they can be faithful and then unfaithful, loyal and then unloyal, they can be truthful and then a liar. So how can that be? But Are you going to be like Christ, who when he dies on the cross, says to the people in public, when he's suffering there, it's very hard for him to breathe and speak with each breath. He literally, when he's on the cross with his wrist, his palms, and his whole hand there is nailed to the cross, and he can't move him really, and both of his feet on top of each other, and he's nailed there through his ankle bones that he had to push off of his ankle because he's almost like in a semi-squat position, and he has to push up to like straighten his legs so he could take a breath. Otherwise, he collapses down in like a semi-squatting, hunched-over position, which he can hardly breathe. So for him to stand straighter and then saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing," he said this to the people there. I don't know if you remember the show, The Passion of the Christ. I mean, that was genius, in my opinion. It was a masterpiece of artwork, but also of showing vividly what happened to our Lord. But that part where Jesus is forgiving the Pharisees, the chief priests, and, you know, the Sadducees, and the good thief, the one on the right, his name is Dismas. He actually became a saint, Saint Dismas. He actually, when the priest was turning around, walking away from Jesus, and Jesus forgave him and all those people, including the Romans. So he was forgiving all of us. So Jews, Romans, us, everybody there, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Well, Dismas, the good thief, the thief on the right hand of Jesus, was saying in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, there, directed by Mel Gibson, that he was saying, "Don't you hear he's forgiving you of your sin?" I don't know if he said sin, but he said, "He's forgiving. Can't you hear that?" I mean, he was astounded. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord, if somebody, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your mom or dad, whether it's your siblings, your best friend, your coworker, your teammate, your classmate, if they turned on you, the one that you relied on, the one that you thought would always be good and loyal to, if they turned on you and was unfaithful, was untrue, was a liar, was a cheater, was a thief, you name it, whatever way, do you have the love and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to say sorry, to forgive them? There's one thing here people need to understand. There's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, I'm not talking about the term where we call it the sacrament of reconciliation. You know, the other term is the sacrament of penance, right? So, but what I'm trying to make a difference is there was a question on one of these radio shows where the lady was really thinking about how she's not able to contact the other person. I don't know if it was her friend or her mom or a sibling, but they were not on speaking terms. Now, is anybody out there like this, where you're not in speaking terms with somebody? But this person wants to forgive the other person and for what they've done, and also say sorry. And so the priest on the line has said there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Reconciliation, if you think about it in the normal sense, is that both sides are able to come together, reconcile. It's like the prodigal son and the father. You know, the father who represented God, who ran. That's the first time God was ever depicted as running, that he ran to the prodigal son after he spent the inheritance on wine, women, and whatever. And he still forgave them. They reconciled. He threw a party. So both of them were talking. both of them hugged, kissed, they talked and forgave each other, you know? So that was a reconciliation. But this lady who couldn't do so because there was the lines of communication were cut off, the other person did not want to talk, she could not get reconciled. And so she was really worried and despaired, like, well, how can I ever ask forgiveness or say sorry if she doesn't even want to talk to me? Or how can I tell her she's forgiven, or him, whoever it might be? Well, the priest has said, well, this is where you're always able through your heart and soul to forgive somebody. God knows that you really want reconciliation, so you're able to forgive. It's up to the other person if they want forgiveness. So let me now make that practical and bring it to the foot of the cross, where Jesus, he can't take his arms out from being nailed and offer it to the chief priest, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the other people there, the Romans, and say and offer his hand and say, you know, forgive me, you know, or I forgive you. You know, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Jesus did nothing wrong, so he has nothing to say sorry about. But he's offering, he wants to show that he's forgiving them. But he can't outstretch his arms and free himself from the nails to just, like, shake hands and say, I forgive you. So it looks like it's unilateral. But the thing is, the point is, Jesus does forgive. And he forgives us here, even though it's 2,000, you know, 26 years. Well, it'll be year 33, so 226 minus 33 years ago. You know, that he's also telling us he's forgiving us for not knowing what we're doing. So we can get forgiveness by offering that. But it's not our fault that we can't be able to reestablish communication and reconciliation. So yes, we can forgive, and it's up to the other person now to also want the forgiveness. But we have done our part, just like Jesus did his part. And it's up to us to say sorry. You see the difference? That one can forgive somebody even though the other person doesn't want to be forgiven. That's on them, but you did your part. So has anybody... Or is anybody out there in that predicament? If so, or you want to talk about something else in the next few minutes that we still have on the air, the number here is 856-962-8178. 856-962-8178. Or if you just want to call in and tell us how you like the show, you know, if there was a prayer that you wanted to pray, we would pray for you. Or if you had a question or just a comment, it would just be great to hear from you. Anyway, let me go on to another part of for Passion Sunday, the Lord's Passion. You know, when the Lord was had this illegal trial, it was in the middle of the night, and that's illegal according to Jewish law. You can't be doing that. And then they had false witnesses to boot. So actually, it wasn't a legitimate trial. Anyway, Jesus, as you know, was sentenced to death, not necessarily for blasphemy, even though they asked him point blank, are you the Messiah, right? And the penalty for death is really for slaves and people who are not Jewish citizens. And so, you know, Jesus is not a Jewish citizen, but he did not... you're not punishable in that sense for just blasphemy, but the point is that Jesus declared that he was divine, and that's the one that put him over the top. That's the one that the chief priest, you know, tore his clothes about that. And so, it specifically... it says here, the high priest said to Jesus, he said, I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him in reply, You have said so. Okay, now, some of us may be thrown off, and I've been thrown off by that for the longest time. Like Jesus will say, you said it, or, you know, and then here he says to the high priest, you said so. But you know what that means, actually? It's not like he's copping out and saying, you know, like, I didn't say that. You said it. Like, he's not, like, trying to sidestep it. It's actually like a bold proclamation, kind of like saying, you got that right, buddy. I mean, he didn't say buddy, but it's like us today. Like, it's saying, like, did you like that? He's like, you bet I like that. He's like, was that a great thing? Like, yeah, it was awesome, you know? So when he's saying, when Jesus says to people that you said so or you said it, it's essentially, in our common way of talking, it's like Jesus saying, you got that right. He's not denying it. He's emphasizing the truth. Yeah, for sure. That's right. Uh-huh. Yep, that's it. That's right. I hope I'm getting that across. He's not copping out. He's not sidestepping. He's not saying, well, you said it. I didn't say it. He's like waffling. No. He's actually making it that clear. And then he goes on. He doubles down. So he said in reply, you have said so. It's like, you got it. You got it right. Again, that's me embellishing, okay? And then he goes, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man. Now, that is a term, you know, that's what Elijah, if I'm not mistaken about the prophet, right? Elijah saying that is the term for the Messiah, the Son of Man, seated where? At the right hand of the power. Who's that? That's God the Father. He's got the power. He's the almighty, the all-powerful, right? And only when you sit at the right hand of God the Father, that means you are equal to him. And so the high priest and the people who are all around, when they say that he's sitting next to the Father, I mean, you're on the same level, on the seat right next to him. That means he's making himself equal to God. And then he goes on and says, and coming on the clouds of heaven. It's like, wait a second. It's like, only God is the one that rides the clouds of the heaven. That shows divinity and power. And so this is what made the high priest. The next line says, then the high priest tore his robes and says, he has blasphemed. Right? Because now he's the one that says he's God. He's equal to God. He's the Son of God. Not only he's the Messiah, because anybody, if you think about, Messiah means anointed one, right? So David was anointed, but he didn't declare he was the Son of God or God. Solomon was anointed, right? You got Saul, David, and Solomon, the three kings there, right? The three Jewish kings in the glory of Israel right there. But they never declared they were God or equal to God or the Son of God. See, this is different. So, and then this is where the high priest says, so what further need do we have of witnesses? And then so that's when people all chimed in. He deserves to die. And they struck him in his face and they, you know, they slapped him. That fulfilled the prophecy, you know, when we go to the first reading here, in which I didn't read, but when you go to Mass this coming Sunday, just be aware the prophecy does, you know, it does occur there, and they talk about that. I'm trying to turn really fast to that page here, where, let's see here, so in Isaiah 50. Is where they talk about that. And the other thing that I wanted to emphasize here in the last few minutes of this show before we have to sign off is the part where, I mentioned where people who were not Roman citizens who could be crucified and those who were slaves. And if you recall that Judas took in 30 pieces of silver, which is actually the cost of, you know, getting a slave. And so that's what he took in 30 pieces of silver. And it said that's the value of a man with a price on his head. And that was what was set for the betrayal of Jesus. The other part that I wanted to say was when Jesus said, you know, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. I don't know if it's Eli, Eli, or Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the thing is, people thought they were calling, he was calling Elijah, but he wasn't. You know, it's sometimes it's hard to hear, you know, when a person is being crucified, because if he's calling Elijah, he would say Elijah, the J-A-H of Elijah would be pronounced Elijah, Elijah. But he's not saying that. And so he's saying Elijah. So, and that's, and so he's not saying Elijah with the Y-A, Y-A-H. And so that's where he's actually helping people recall the psalm that starts off with my God, my God. We know that as Psalm 22. And so when we, as Catholics, we develop the same tradition from the Jews that when we're going to cite the name of a prayer or a song, we take the first few words or the letters, first few words or word to help you understand, well, what's the name of that song? So if we're going to say the Our Father, who art in heaven, we call the name of that whole prayer the Our Father, the first two words. Whereas some people call it the Lord's Prayer, but an easier way to remember is, well, what was the first two words of that prayer? Well, it was called Our Father. Just like when we pray Hail Mary, full of grace, you know, that came from Scripture, Luke chapter 1, or was it like chapter 2? So we know that's the part of the Scripture where we're getting this. Well, the same thing with the Psalm, Psalm 22. They didn't have numbers back then, numbering this the Psalm. So he would say, my God, my God. So he wanted people to know, not that he was losing hope, but the end of that Psalm shows victory. And that's what he was trying to help people understand, that God would be victorious, that even though it looks like if things are bleak, that actually things were going to be victorious. So don't think the Lord gave up all hope and that he was despairing. No, he was trying to help people remember that psalm. He was not only fulfilling that prophecy, but also trying to encourage us. So what take home for all this is, whenever you too are undergoing extreme pain or extreme anguish or so much trouble that you don't know what to say or what to do, well, call out to God, you know. And if all you can say is the Our Father, or what St. Peter did when he was, after walking on the water, he fell in and almost drowned. He said, Lord, save me. If that's all you can say, it's still a prayer. Call out to the Lord. Lord, save me. Help me in my marriage. Help me in my finances. Help me with this cancer. Help me with my children, or help me with my friends, or help me with school. Help me with work. Call out to the Lord. He is loving and merciful. He wants to help you, but you need to ask. Then you shall receive. You need to seek, and then you will find. You should knock, and that door will be open to you. And so we leave you with that, and I hope that you will have a great Holy Week, and I hope that you've gained some insight on this show, that was able to make some commentary and bring it home to help you know that we are really blessed to have you listen to us and to be on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on this show, signed, sealed, and delivered. And so thank you very much. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo. I'm going to be signing off here, and just remember again, we are signed with the cross of Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit from baptism through confirmation, and we're delivered through the Our Father prayer. So God bless you all. We hope you have a holy week and also a great Easter. God bless you.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.